You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's definitely going to go down in the history books for the way we fought back. And, you know, if we in the season like we want to, I think we should definitely have a 30-30 for sure. Because, you know, at first we weren't supposed to, you know, have the opportunity to play, but we just fought so hard to get it back. And we're just all so excited for the opportunity. So I definitely think this is going to go down in the history books. So we're just hoping that, you know, we have a great season and get to be out there on the field.
History will remember the fight the players made to get the opportunity to play. It is College Football Live. I'm Jason Fitz, sitting with Desmond Howard, Jim Moore, and we have got a stacked show. A lot to get into, gentlemen, and it starts, obviously, with the conversation about playing, and that's something Big Ten players are particularly excited about. I'm not sure anyone is more excited, frankly, than Ohio State's Sean Wade. Remember, initially, he had opted out of the season. At this point, he was going to prepare for the NFL draft, but he also made it clear that he would reconsider if the Big Ten made an announcement to play sooner. They did, he did, and now Sean Wade officially coming back. This is what he had to say this morning when he was on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on ESPN Radio.
In January, I came back to OSU to graduate, to get my degree, to win a national championship, and just really compete and show people I can play outside corner. And since they decided to cancel the season, it was like, dang, I was trying to just be as patient as I can, and I kind of ran out of patience for a little bit, but I didn't sign nothing. I told coaches I wouldn't sign nothing for a little while, so I didn't do that, and I was still being patient. But when they decided to reopen the season, it was just a blessing from God, and just when they did that, I knew back in my heart I was ready to come back to OSU and just play and be with my boys. I can't wait.
Now, the decision not to sign any paperwork we'll get into in a minute. It's significant. But, Dez, give me your impression on Sean Wade and your thoughts on his decision to opt back into the season.
Well, guys, I mean, let's just keep it 100, okay? These guys, especially a talented player like Sean Wade, when you have his skill set, you know, his eye is on the prize, and that prize is the shield, the NFL. He wants to be drafted. And if you're going back and forth as far as is the conference going to play, maybe they will, maybe they won't. Now, I understand how that young man said he ran out of patience. He wanted to start to train for the NFL draft. And, you know, and that's what led him to make that decision. But then, obviously, when they did a about face and they turned 180 and they decided, the Big Ten decided to have a season, then he understood, okay, this is still an opportunity for me to get some more good film out there for these NFL scouts, for these GMs, so they can see who I am, what I can do. We may have a chance with Justin Fields at the quarterback position to win a national championship. So I understood his decision to opt back in. But I watched that same interview, guys, and at the end, Keyshawn asked him, if you guys start the season and you lose a couple of games, are you going to opt back out? And you know what he said, Coach? He said, I don't know, man. That is not a good look, Coach.
That's not the answer Ryan Day and his teammates want to hear, but I applaud him for opting back in. And, Desmond, I agree with you 100% on everything you said. You know, I like to watch great players play. I like to watch great competitors compete, and I think this young man is both of those things. I mean, we've seen him work so well from the slot, and now he's going to get a chance to play on the outside. He's got great ball skills, great ball awareness. He'll tackle. He can play man. He can play zone. And as you said, this gives him a chance to put more tape out there. It also gives him a chance to go on the field and hone his skills in a competitive environment. And that's not something that you can replicate on your own when you're just training for the draft. You need to get out there and you need to be under the lights and you need to compete against other great players. And so this is just going to make him a great player. And one more point. I think that NFL decision makers will like the fact that he opted back in and he decided to go back and help his team and compete because it shows a commitment. And they like that commitment at the NFL level.
Well, it shows a commitment, Coach, for sure. But let's be real, to Dez's point, it's a lot easier to make that commitment when you know you're fighting for a national championship. I mean, that's what this is about. If this was a bad football team, Coach, I'm not sure we're having the same conversation.
Well, I wouldn't disagree with you, but we're talking about a really good football team. We're talking about a really good football player. And so that was the decision that was made, and that was the reason it was made. And I think, you know, Keyshawn probably caught him off guard a little bit, which Keyshawn can do because he's got some great unorthodox questions. But I'd be very surprised if this young man – well, first of all, things aren't going to go south for Ohio State. Let's just be honest right here. And if they did, I don't think this young man would opt out. I don't think that's his character. I think, as Dez said and as he said in his interview – you know, he was getting impatient. We were all getting impatient with the Big Ten. We were all getting impatient with the Pac-12. We want to see football, and these football players want to play the game on Saturdays.
Well, and he's not the only player that's making...
I agree with Coach.
Go ahead, Dez.
Go ahead. No, I agree with Coach, but, I mean, listen, you can't let that question blindside you. I mean, that's not a complicated question.
He's still learning his media skills.
Start losing games early. Are you going to opt back out? I don't care how you feel. The answer is no. I'm in it. You know what I'm saying?
And I have a sneaking suspicion when he's asked again, the answer will be no. He's going to figure this one out. Speaking of no, we'll see if the NCAA says no to another player that's trying to figure this out. Is Rashad Bateman, obviously the reigning Big Ten receiver of the year. Remember, he initially decided to opt out. That was all the way back on August 4th. He's trying to reverse that decision as well, but his path is complicated because he signed with an agent, which technically terminates his remaining eligibility. He'll now likely require a waiver throughout the NCAA reinstatement process. So we'll see what that means. In the meantime, let's get you a COVID update. Some breaking news. Houston at Baylor has been postponed due to Baylor not meeting the Big 12 Conference COVID-19 game cancellation thresholds. The team will monitor dates for future scheduling opportunities. Both teams have now had multiple games postponed this season, something we're all getting used to, and they're not the only ones dealing with it. Next up, FAU, Florida Atlantic, announced it has postponed its game with Georgia Southern on Saturday following COVID-19 test results from Thursday. The two schools are working to find a date later this season to reschedule. Again, we're going to have a whole list of these every single weekend to go through, and this is not the end of the list for this. We'll move next to North Carolina. On Thursday, North Carolina announced its game with Charlotte was canceled. Charlotte pulled out of the game due to players needing to quarantine from contact tracing. Several members of the team's offensive line had been exposed. So one positive test results in a cancellation here. So we'll see what that means moving forward. Also on Thursday, the ACC announced Virginia at Virginia Tech. This one's positive has been rescheduled, December 12th. The game was originally scheduled for tomorrow, but was postponed due to a number of Virginia Tech players needing to quarantine. And speaking of a little bit of positive news, MAC presidents are going to meet on Saturday to review a possible fall football season. The MAC was the first FBS conference to postpone its season this summer when it did so on August 8th. The most likely scenario would be 6 or 8 games for their season. Hopefully we can get an answer there soon. And speaking of waiting for an answer, the Pac-12 continues to discuss return to play options. Earlier this week, USC and UCLA athletic directors got approval needed from LA County to begin practicing once the Pac-12 signs off on a return to play. So guys, let's have a Pac-12 conversation. Remember, Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott said not only are they not expecting a vote today, he's not going to push for a vote to happen. So let's take a look at the What's Your Beef brought to you by Old Trapper. Dez, any beef with the way the Pac-12 is handling this?
Well, I don't really have a big beef with them as far as their initial decision, because they made the same decision that the Big Ten made as far as postponing or canceling whatever the initial decision was. Now, to go revisit that decision, I think it's the right thing to do. It just doesn't seem like they're in any hurry to try to rush to try to make this decision, though. Like, they're taking their time. They're being very cautious, maybe too cautious in the eyes of some people. But I have to... I have to respect Larry Scott and the patience in which he and his staff they're taking and trying to make this decision, make sure they do the right thing. I mean, let's keep it 100, guys. They're dealing with a whole lot of you know, they got fires out there. I mean, the numbers were so high in California. So they're dealing with some issues that other parts of the country just aren't dealing with. So I understand why he's a little bit more cautious than maybe some of the other commissioners and other conferences, especially like the Big Ten.
Yeah, I kind of vacillate between understanding the cautious behavior and the cautious attitude towards it, and then feeling that maybe there's a lack of urgency at time to go ahead and really push to play. But you have to remember out here that they're fighting state and local legislation, as well as, you know, as you said, the fires. You know, I'm in California, and the air quality goes up and down, and I don't know how often we want to put these young men out in that environment and exposed to the COVID. So I will applaud Larry Scott, but I think the Pac-12 needs to get going, and they need to get going quickly. I don't think once they make this vote and they decide to return to play, because I believe they will, then they need to really ramp it up and try to get on the field as fast as they can. I don't think it takes 5 or 6 weeks to get these young guys ready to go play a football game. I think these guys stay in shape. They're doing work on their own. They're throwing on the field. I don't know if they're doing 7-on-7 and things like that, but I think they can be up and running in 3 to 4 weeks and be playing at a pretty high level. Remember, these are very skilled young men. They're great coaches. They know the game. They stay in shape, and they're eager to compete. So I hope that as we go forward here with the Pac-12, we sense a little bit more of an urgency to getting back on the field.
Coach, I'm really interested to get your perspective specifically on this. You know so much about the conference and the coaching life. So if they're the only Power 5 that doesn't get on the field for whatever reason, bigger circumstances, as Des alluded to, and it's important, but if they're the only ones that don't get on the field, what are the ramifications of that for you as a coach sitting in a living room trying to recruit guys to come play for this conference?
Well, I think it complicates things. I think that your competition will certainly use it against you. But I also think that as you appeal to a parent, you can always say, listen, we are always going to err on the side of caution in making sure that the health and welfare of your young son is first and foremost in our mind. And we do that as a school, and we do that as a conference. Now, the opponent's going to say, listen, you want to be a football player? You want to be a pro football player? Because every single player that's recruited thinks they're going to the NFL. They're going to say, hey, listen, come to our conference, play in our stadium. We didn't close it up during COVID. We found ways to mitigate the effects, to mitigate all the issues that could come into play.
Risks.
And we were able to play football.
Yep.
And the risks, yes. If you found the word for me there, thanks, Desmond. But mitigate the risk, and we continue to play. So come play for us, and we'll increase your chances of getting to the NFL.
Des, your thoughts?
No, I think that Coach hit it on the head. I mean, I was really curious to see what he would say about it because, like you said, he's very familiar with that footprint. He understands the schools out there, the conference, the commissioner. You know, he's dealt with them. So I was really curious to see what he said. I agree 100%. I think that they will try to use it negatively in recruiting because you try to use anything that you have access to. And that's, hey, these guys, they didn't have you come out there. But if you're a respectable and a parent who really loves their child, you will look at what they're doing, in my opinion, and say, look, they had factors that other parts of the country didn't have to deal with, and they looked after the health and of their student-athletes in a way that I respect. So, I'm just that type of parent. That's how I would look at it.
Well, and guys,
you know, one of the issues here, one of the issues here is that Ohio State, Michigan, Oklahoma, Alabama, those teams are starting to come into California and take the top talent out of this state or the West Coast and take it out of this state. So when you're talking about recruiting, you've got that threat, and now you've got the threat that they can use the fact that you didn't open up your conference to play early against you. But like Des said, most parents are saying, you know what? Yeah, I want my son to play football. And, yeah, I'd love to have him have a chance to go play in the NFL. But I want him safe, and I want him healthy, and I want him taken care of by the people that I'm entrusting him with.
And that, gentlemen, is why I think transparency is such a conversation for every conference. Decide to play, decide not to play. Just do it transparently enough that the current players and the future players all know the process and the decisions that are being made. We're going to keep talking about that every single week. But coming up, all eyes are on Oklahoma State, on and off the field, for controversies this summer to what should be expected for them in the Big 12 this season. We'll break it down all coming up next.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Got Tulsa versus Oklahoma State coming up this weekend. Oklahoma State ranked 12th in the FPI. Okay. Our Weenie's given an 86. Our stat Weenie's given an 86% chance of winning that game. Coming off an 8-5 season, obviously Tulsa 4-8, but a big game for OSU as all eyes continue to be on that program.
My girlfriend texted me like, "Y'all game got postponed." I was like, "I don't know." Looked. 19th, like, what?
I was hearing some people had friends at Tulsa, and they were like, yeah, Tulsa been shut down, and then all of a sudden, bam, like, no warning, nothing. It was like, oh, game one been postponed. We've been going literally for like 7 weeks, so it's the longest, longest fall camp of my life, man.
But I looked at ESPN when they released it, I was hurt. Like, I was hurt. I ain't gonna care. Bro, I was mad.
Bro, I was pissed. It was too close.
They could have called us last week. Thursday.
Each week, you know, we game plan, so you ain't gotta learn, like, nothing right. That, you know. Now we got you learning stuff that we just putting in.
If you just put yourself in their shoes right now, what are they thinking? They're thinking, okay, we got two more weeks of practice, and we still ain't played a damn game.
An incredible opportunity to see some of the behind-the-scenes footage that they've got going on there. Gentlemen, a lot of conversation about Oklahoma State over the course of the offseason controversy this summer over the T-shirt. We all know it. Coach, I got to get your thoughts on this. If you are a coach that's had locker room issues over the summer, how does that play into the beginning of your season?
Well, they play Tulsa, and they will probably win easily. But if they hit a hurdle, or if, you know, God help us, we have more issues in this country that bring up some of the underlying issues that affected Oklahoma State this summer, then you have to really question how that team's going to react to Mike Gundy. You know, as a head coach, you always have to be aware of your actions. You have to be aware of the example you set. You have to stay connected to your team and understand what they're going through, not just physically, but emotionally. What's affecting them on the field? What's affecting them off the field? What are the things in their life that you need to be conscious of? And when I say be responsible to your actions, that does also include wearing a T-shirt that represents an organization that maybe is not in concert with what the majority of your players or all of your players are thinking. And I think that stuff is gone right now, but it's not forgotten. And should there be some more issues that need to be addressed, then Mike Gundy will have a challenge ahead of him. And now, you know, I've seen him go to bat for his players. We all have seen him go to bat for his players. I don't know him well, but I think he's a good man. But he is really going to have to do a great job this year navigating the issues as they arise with his football team, because the number one thing, and I think Desmond can attest to this because he was a player, is trust. If a player trusts his head coach, if a player knows that his head coach has their best interests at heart at all times, above all else, then they will run through a wall for you. You can yell at him, you can cuss at him, you can be hard on him, you can coach him tough, you can push, you can pull, you can demand, and they'll love you because they know that you love them and they know they can trust you. But I think that trust is so fragile, and probably even more fragile at Oklahoma State right now.
Yeah, Des, walk me through the other side of it from a locker room perspective as a player. When you lose trust with a coach, how much rope do they get?
I tell you what, not much. I think at this point, when Chuba Hubbard and the other players in the locker room, when they look at their coach Gundy, you know, they try to move on. You want to move past it, but you don't forget. And in the back of your mind, you're thinking, I mean, was he tone deaf? Did he care? Can he not read the room? How can he put that shirt on when he have players who are black players and we're going through what we're going through right now, and this country is going through what it's going through right now? So at that they'll never forget that, because that, to me, that's a question that he can never answer properly. So they're going to go out there and they're going to play because they have pride. They understand what's at stake. They still want to represent themselves and their families well, too. But, yeah, if something happens, like Coach said, And if they hit a bump in the road, he can have a locker room that's divided, and he could lose his team. So moving forward, they have to be very extremely cautious. I'm not sure if everything he's done up to this point to try to heal the damage that he did, but I saw something on TV at one point where he wanted to make sure the players were all together, meaning that they were like black players and white players, you know, mixed up and sitting together and things of that nature. But it's going to take a lot more to heal that wound that he created by wearing that T-shirt. That I have to give Chuba Hubbard a lot of respect for, because he called his coach out, and that's not easy to do.
You guys can check out the game tomorrow, noon Eastern on ESPN. Be sure to check out the series on ESPN+. It gives you a great behind the scenes on a locker room that has a lot of different reasons to watch. We've got a lot of things to watch over the course of the weekend. Some huge games. We're going to preview some of the best of the next, best of the best, and we'll do it next. College Football Live. Coming up Saturday on College Game Day, the Big Ten is back. Jim Harbaugh and Justin Fields are joining Reese and the crew to talk about the return to play. Plus, Chuba takes charge. Not easy for me to say how last year's leading rusher's impact might be felt more off the field than on the field this year. And Gene Wojciechowski sits down with De'Ara King, who opens up about the tumultuous year that led to his transfer to Miami. You want to check that out on game day tomorrow. A ton of great games this weekend to keep your eye on, not the least of which USF Notre Dame. Let's see what Notre Dame looks like after high expectations that some say weren't met last week. So we'll see what kind of statement they can make. That's one of the good games on the slate. Also, you got Clemson versus Citadel. We'll see what happens in this one. Most importantly, we're just going to find out if Citadel's punter learned how to kick. It's too early to talk any trash. Clemson going to go out, do what they usually do. And to so many people, the game of the weekend is easy to see. It's Miami versus Louisville. Big ACC matchup. Obviously, big expectations for Miami. But Louisville also has their share of hopes. So let's take a look at today's More Driven Player presented by Goodyear. It's De'Ara King. Yes, Miami's only played one game this season, but King posted a QBR of 82 in that game. That number would be by far the best of any Miami quarterback in a season since college QBR was first tracked in 2004. Dez, does Miami finally have their quarterback?
Yes, he's the best quarterback they've had in almost 20 years. I'm talking about back to Ken Dorsey. I like him. Dual threat quarterback. I love this offense with De'Ara King running the offense.
I thought you were going to take us back to Vinny Testaverde there, Dez, but no. De'Ara King especially. Watch how he improves week to week in this offense as he starts to get a better feel for the scheme that they're running and the players that are fitting in around him. I'm so excited about him. He's one of my Heisman hopefuls.
Well, I'm so excited about this weekend and that I got to hang out with you guys. For Desmond, for Coach, thank you so much for hanging out with us in College Football Live. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the games.